We are continuing on to look at JavaScript, but before I just want to remind you of a couple of things. First, if you get an assignment back without a grade, you need to fix it and resubmit to get a grade. Okay, and there's some that I've sent back to you, and I haven't got them returned yet. So if you get something back and I say, you know, 5 is wrong, 7 is wrong, 10 is wrong, you need to fix those and send them back. Okay? Because they haven't got a grade. Now, at the end of the semester, I do give you partial, but I'm harsh on it. So fix them and send them back, because you can still get an A if you fix them and send them back and they're right. So you can get an A, we can go back and forth and you can get an A. And the other thing is, there is a test that is due tonight at midnight. Okay? So you need to give that in to me. The test is given under week 6, and it is due tonight at midnight. Okay? Now, I will still take it late, but you will definitely lose points on that if that's late. Okay? You're not going to lose points on homework particularly, but you'll definitely lose points on that.
Wait, how significant is 10 points a day?
5 or 10. 5, I think, is what I usually do. Down to a certain point, and then I stop. Okay, so JavaScript. We are going to continue on. Last time I had you working on final totals, I think, .html. And I asked you to put into this
which one was that one?
It was the one called Final Totals. So go down the list of ones, and it was called Final Totals. And I asked you to put in the code to tell who won and who lost. Has anybody got that running? Okay. So I'm going to give you a few more minutes to work on that. Sorry. I'm going to give you a few more minutes to work on that, and then we'll put it in. But I'm going through here again, and this is where the user gets to choose whether to continue or not. So I'm saying while continue program, which is a variable that I set up, and have a value of y. And I said, while it's equal to y, take in a number, add it to the total. And then we are accumulating two totals. So then I say, do you want to play again, yes or no? If you enter a y, then when it comes back up here, it will do the loop again. If you enter anything other than y, it will not do the loop again. Either case, once the loop has been finished, it drops down and writes out the things that we saw that tells the total for player one and the total for player two. So now I want you to add in the code that tells who is the winner. So you're going to be putting an if statement down here. So this program really shows sequence. It shows selection with the ifs after you put it in, and it shows repetition.
What is this program called again?
Final Totals. You can always see up here.
Oh, there it is. Okay.
That's the name of the thing that I just opened. So I want you to go in and write in the if statements that will make me determine who won. And we talked about the fact that there are three possibilities. Player one is the winner, player two is the winner, it's a tie. And so you have to account for all three possibilities.
So all you want us to do is practically print out the winner.
I want you to tell me who the winner is, yes. this one. Is the reason I don't do this often. I can't spell and I can't type, apparently. Okay, there are three questions, and you can ask them in any order. Actually, ask the questions, but you only don't have... I'm sorry. There are three possibilities, and you can check those possibilities in any order. But you only have to ask two questions, because if you get a no to the first question and a no to the second question, it's going to be the third possibility. Okay? So you don't have to ask all three questions. And in fact, if you did ask the third question, you don't really have anything to put if it's a no. So you just have to ask two questions. When you know there's no other possibility. When you know there's only three possibilities. Okay. When people are entering keystrokes, then you usually ask questions and then say else it's a problem because they entered the wrong thing. But here I'm gathering what our totals have been accumulated. So I know there's only three possibilities. So I start out and I said, is P1 greater than P2? So I'm saying, is player 1 greater than player 2? Okay, player 1 total greater than player 2 total. If it is, document right, player 1 is the winner. else, I decided to ask the equal question, and I could have asked the less than question, or I could have reversed it and asked is play a 2 greater than play a 1. There's a whole load of ways I can ask it. So I reversed it and says, is play a 1 total equal to play a 2 total? Remember, I need 2 equal signs when I'm doing a comparison. And if they are equal, then I document right out that it was a tie. Else, I document right out that player 2 is the winner.
Okay, because if player 1 isn't the winner and it's not a tie, the only possibility is that player 2 is the winner. Okay. So hopefully I don't have any problems with this. Actually, where did I put it? That's my biggest problem. File, save as. I put it on the F drive. So file, open, and I am on the F drive, and I called it play a win or something like that. There it is. So enter the points that player won, and I'm putting in a 5, and then I'll put in a 4. Do you want to play again? Yes. And I'll put in an 8 and a 7. Do you want to play again? No. And so I'm coming out and saying player 1 is the winner because player 1 got 13. So player 1 is the winner. Now, to test this program, I need to try all the possibilities. I know it worked this time, but I need to go through and try the possibility of it being a tie, and I need to go through and try the possibility that player 2 won. Because you can't assume that because one of them worked, the rest are going to work. Okay? So if I come back over here and do a refresh, and I'm going to put 5 and 5, and I'm not going to play again. And so it's coming out with a tie. And then I can do another refresh and do 4 and 5. And do you want to play again? No. And player 2 is the winner. So it worked on all of them, so therefore I can pretty safely assume that it's working. Questions? Okay. Yeah. Sorry. All right, this is not letting me do this. Okay, the next one I want to look at is the math facts while loop. Okay. Actually, I should put that in the table. For some reason, my mouse is giving me trouble. Okay. This is the story on this one. I'm doing math facts, and I'm just doing the 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2, 3 plus 3. So I'm starting out and I'm saying, okay, count equals 1. And then I'm saying, well, count is less than or equal to 3. Because I want to stop when count gets to 4. Then I set up a while loop that said, well, count is less than or equal to 3. And I am going into the loop because count was set at 1 right before I went in there. And remember, there's 3 things about a loop. To have a loop, you need to, 1, set the control. And the control in this case is count. 2, you need to test the control. Or check the control or whatever. And 3, you need to reset or change the control. So count is your control, and so I set count at 1 right before I went in the loop. Then I'm checking to see if count is less than or equal to 3, so that's testing or checking. And then inside the loop, I'm adding count to count. I'm doing a document write, which includes count, concatenated with a plus sign that's inside quotes, concatenated with count, concatenated with the equal sign inside quotes, concatenated with answer, concatenated with a break. And I've got the old kind of break there, but it works just fine. But I can take that out and have it like that, and it will be more up to date. But these are not totally up to date anyway, because I don't have the doc type at the beginning and everything. So I write them out, and then I say, okay, now add 1 to count, which is I'm changing count, or I'm changing the control. So I add 1 to count, it's now going to be 2, it goes back. It's less than or equal to 3, so it drops in. It adds 2 plus 2, gets 4, writes out 2 plus 2 is 4, and adds 1 to count. So count is now up to a 3. I loop back, is count less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I go in, 3 plus 3 is 6. I do a document write, where I write out 3 plus 3 is 6. And I add 1 to count. So count is now a 4. When I go back, I check, is count less than or equal to 3? No, it's not, so I'm out. And I dropped out of the script and I wrote the end of the mastex in HTML. I could have, right after the loop, done a document write, the end of the mastex. And then I would have written it from inside the JavaScript. Here I wrote it from outside the JavaScript. Okay? It's a different style of writing whether you write it from inside or outside. Okay? So, now I want to go on and look at a nested one, which is a little more complex. Okay, so I'm looking at math facts nested while loop. Okay. So on this one, notice that I'm writing out 1 plus 1 equals 2, 1 plus 2 equals 3, 1 plus 3 equals 4. And then I'm changing and saying 2 plus 1, 2 plus 2, 2 plus 3, and so forth. What I've got is a couple of variables over here. And I am putting count, this one outside is count. This one inside is count in. This one is answer. So I've got up there count, count in, and answer. So I set them up here. And I didn't, as you will notice, set up answer. So in fact, answer gets defined down here because it's on the left, and anything that's on the left will get defined even if I don't define it. But it would have been better to set up a variable answer. Okay, it would have been better to do it that way, but it's not a big deal because it was first used on the left. Okay, so now I'm going into the loop and I'm going to start doing the processing. Notice I didn't give count in a value. And I didn't do it because, in fact, I want to do it down here. And you'll see why as we go through this. And I wanted to make sure that people would notice that. So, I have a field called count, a field called count in, and a field called answer. I have a loop within a loop. So I have a while loop, and then I have another while loop. So I have an outer loop, and I have an inner loop. If I look at them, I can see that the outer loop is dealing with count, and the inner loop is dealing with count in. So count is in charge of the outer loop, count in is in charge of the inner loop. So I come in here and I have set count to 1 right prior to doing the outer loop. And then I drop down and I set count into 1 right before I do the inner loop. Okay. So that I am setting right before I do the loop. Then I come in and I go to the loop and I say, okay, count in equals 1. Now I go to the inner loop and I say, count in less than or equal to 3. So that's my control. It's 1, so I go in. And I say, answer. Okay, so I've got 1 in each of these. Answer equals count plus count in. So answer is now 2. And I write out count plus count in equals answer. So I write the line out. Then I add 1 to count in. Now I'm inside the inner loop. The inner loop is controlled by count in. So I am only adding to count in. What happens is once I start the inner loop, I go all the way through it until finally count in is no longer less than or equal to 3. And in that case, I will drop out. But I will stay in the inner loop until it's done. So I wrote out 1 plus 1 equals 2. I added 1 to count in and made it 2. And now I'm looping back. So is count in less than or equal to 3? Yeah, 2 is less than or equal to 3. I calculate the answer, and the answer is 1 plus 2, so the answer is 3. And I write out 1 plus 2 equals 3. Then I add 1 to count in. So count in has now gone up to a 3. I loop back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I add count and count in and put them in answer, which now becomes a 4. And I write out 1 plus 3 equals 4. Then I add 1 to count in, which gets it up to a 4. Okay? And I loop back and it says, wait a minute, count in is no longer less than or equal to 3. So that means it drops out of the loop. It's done with the loop. It drops out and it adds 1 to count and resets count, and then it loops back up there. Okay, so I'm changing count. Count has now become a 2. So I go back to the outer loop, and I say, is count less than or equal to 3? It is. So now I drop down, and I hit count in equals 1. So I'm resetting count in back to 1, which is why I had to have that count in equal to 1 there, because I was resetting. Okay. So if I hit this on a drop down, if I hit this while statement on a drop down, I want to reset. And I'm resetting it by saying count in equals 1 right before it. If I hit it because I just did a loop, I don't reset. I don't want to reset. So if I'm just looping back, I've already taken care of anyone to count in, I want to check that and keep doing it. But when I drop down into it, I want to reset, and I need that count in equal to 1 there to do the reset for me, because I have to reset. Okay? So I go in, and I say, well, count in is less than or equal to 3. Okay? It's 1, so it's less than or equal to 3. So I write out 2 plus 1 equals 3. I'm sorry, I should have said I added this. Okay, answer equals count plus count in, which is 3. So I write out 2 plus 1 equals 3. And then I add 1 to count in. So I loop back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. Okay, so I then add, and I've got a 4. And I write out 2 plus 2 equals 4, and I add 1 to count in. I go back. Count in is less than or equal to 3. So I add count plus count in, and I get up to a 5. And I write out 2 plus 3 equals 5. And then I add 1 to count in. So this time when I go back, count in is not less than or equal to 3, so it drops out of the loop. And when it drops out of the loop, it adds 1 to count. So then I loop back to the outer loop, and is count less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. So I drop in, and I reset count in to 1, and then I do the go in and do the add. 3 plus 1 equals 4. I write out 3 plus 1 equals 4. I add 1 so that I'm up to 2. I loop back. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yes, it is. I add and get 5 for answer. I write out 3 plus 2 equals 5. And I add 1 to count in. And I go back to the inner loop. Is count in less than or equal to 3? Yep. I add count plus count in, and I get up to 6. I write out 3 plus 3 equals 6, and I add 1 to count in, which now gets it up to a 4. So when it goes up to a 4, I loop back, and it's no longer less than or equal to 3. So I drop out and add 1 to count. So that when I go back, while count is less than or equal to 3 is not true, so I drop out of the outer loop, which contained the inner loop, so I drop out of both of them, and drop out of the script, and then write the end of the math back when I get back to HTML.
Questions? Did that make sense? Anybody that it was a problem for, let me know.
So like when you reach the CT in the 4, how did it go into that 1 right there after the 4?
Okay, which 4 are we talking about?
The 4 in the middle of the CT.
This 4?
The one on the right.
That 4?
Down. That 4.
That 4?
How did you get that 1 after it?
Because once I hit the 4, I am no longer in this loop.
Okay.
So I drop out, add 1 to count, and come back. And when I go back in, I reset by putting the 1 and count in. Okay?
Okay.
Too many fours floating around.
Yeah.
Questions? Okay. Also, too many drawings. Okay. So now I go back, and the next one that comes up is the do while. And I'm only going to spend a minute on the do while, because the difference between them is simply where I ask the question. Okay? The do loop doesn't ask the question at the top, it asks the question at the bottom. And so that means that I will always drop in. I never question it, I always drop in. So I drop in, do the work, and then I check, and if count is no longer less than a 3, I get out right there. Okay, in the other one, I loop back and saw the while at the top and use that to get out. Here, I get out right there. So I'll go through this loop and write 1 plus 1, 2 plus 2, 3 plus 3, and then I get out. Okay, so it's a different style of writing, that's all. It accomplished the same thing. But one of them did the test before I entered the loop. One of them does the test after I've done the loop once. So it forces me to do the loop at least once. In this particular example, it doesn't matter because I'm not taking in data and I'm not taking in user input. I've already set the parameters and I'm going to do it the number of times I say I'm going to do it. But in some cases, it matters. And you have to make a choice of, do you want to test before you go in the loop or after? Okay. So the next one is a nested do while. And this does exactly the same thing, it's just that it does the test for me. So here is my while that tests for the inner loop. Okay? This is the inner loop. And so there's the while that tests for my inner loop, and I'm testing count in, and the while below that tests for the outer loop. So in one of them I'm testing for the inner, and one of them I'm testing for the other. On something like this, I think the where is a lot clearer than the do while. Oh, the while, rather. Is a lot clearer than the do while, but either way can work. Okay? So this one is just using another kind of loop. It's looping with the do while as opposed to the while. Everything else is the same. It's just I've taken the condition from up at the top and put it down at the bottom. And so that means that the first time through, I don't test. So I always do it once. From there on in, I test. But the first time through, I don't test. Questions? Okay. And then the third kind of a loop is the for loop.
with the for loop,
we looked at another example of it last week. But for the for loop, I set right there where I said set I equal to what. I check or test there, and I change here. So it all is happening inside the loop. I set I,
which I'm using instead of count on this one, I set I equal to 1. I'm testing because I want to do it while I is less than or equal to 3. And when I'm done with a pass, I'm going to add 1 to I so that I change I. And with the for loop, it's all very nicely done inside the parentheses after the for. Okay? So the for loop works beautifully when I have something like things are going to go 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. If that's not the way it's going to work, then the for loop loses some of its allure. But if it's going 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 type kind of counting, the for loop works really well. So inside the loop, all I did was do the add and the right, the add and the right, the add and the right, because the stuff inside the for take care of setting it, checking it, and changing it. So in fact, I didn't need this variable equal I probably, but I definitely wouldn't have needed to set it to a value. Okay? But the for you will set it even if I don't. And then when I come to nesting that one, no, I've got the do loop there. Okay. Okay, so now I have the for loop for both of them, and it very nicely takes care of everything. In this one, I kind of jammed them together. This one, I left spaces just to show you that it doesn't matter. But I have an I and a J, and the J is controlling the inner loop, and the I is controlling the other loop. Okay? And if I was going to define I with a variable, I should have defined J with a variable. Okay? I do callous things, catch them when I'm up here and forget it when I go home. So if you catch them, let me know. So anyway, the I is controlling, the J is controlling, both loops handle things. So when I drop down after when I'm ready to do the inner loop for the second time, and I drop down, it resets the J. When it loops back, it changes the J. So when it does a drop down, it sets. Okay? So a drop down will set J. Okay? And a loop back will change J. And that's exactly what I want. So a for next works really well. Questions? Yeah. Just knows that when it loops back, it knows it should add one. Because then it's hitting it fresh. And when it hits it fresh, it does the set. When it hits it by looping back, it does the change. Clever little thing. Okay? So if I hit it going down, then it does the set. If I loop back, it does the reset. It
does the change. Probably should use reset change is better.
Okay. So it is taking some of that work away from you. In the others, you had to figure that out and put it in. Here, that's its kind of default method of operation, and so it does it by default. Did that answer your question, sort of? Okay. Okay, I think what I'm going to do next is drop down and look at the guess game. So look for guess number one guess. So I'm going to enter my guess, and if you can see, there's a 3 up here, and I cheated and put what I should guess up there. Okay, because you're trying to guess the number that the computer generated. And I cheated and told what number just so I could do whatever I wanted to do. And so if 3 was what it generated, I'm going to put in a 4. And then hit OK. And it tells me that my guess is too high. My problem here is that it now stopped. Okay. So if I do a view page source, okay, this is how the guessing game works. So I have a script. And I started out and I said, variable the random. So that's a random number that I'm going to generate there. And this is a copy and paste. This is how JavaScript lets you do the random number. There are other ways you can write it too, but this is a good clean way. So math random is a function that JavaScript has that generates a random number. And there's a lot of code in that because generating a random number is not an easy thing to do. And so there's a lot of code, but they provide you with the code that does the magic. And you can just say math random to get a random number. Okay, and most languages nowadays have that. A while back, they didn't. And you had to write code yourself to generate a random number. Okay. But now I've got math random. And math random times 5 means that I am going to go up from 1 to 5. Actually, it would be 0 to 5, but I add the plus 1 out here, which means it goes from 1 to 5. It would actually be 0 to 4. What?
Well, there's technically no such thing as true random, right? Like that program for random has an algorithm.
Close enough.
That's what I'm saying, but I was just curious, how would they make it where it would be close enough to where I thought, like, how would you code something like that?
Lots of code.
Really? Like, lots of, like...
Yeah. I don't want to go there today, because that's just...
No, I'm just curious, like, does it take, like, ifs and elses, or...
Sure. All can be done in the same kind of ways, and throw in a few extra bells and whistles, but it can be done. But, why? You know, we've got a bunch of math computer scientists that sat down and worked out an algorithm that works. And they tested it and tested it and tested it and tested it, and then they made it available to us. So I have a lot better ways I can spend my time than trying to best their function. Okay? Math floor means take the number and no decimal places and all that sort of stuff. No rounding. Just take the number. So I've got math random up to 5. If I wanted to go to a random number from 1 to 25, I'd put a 25 there. If I want to go from 1 to 50, I'd put a 50 there. Okay, so that will generate me a random number.
And as he said, it's probably not perfect, but it's close enough for government work. Okay? So I've got a random number there. Then I cheated, and I said, document right the random number. Okay? If this was really something where I wanted people to guess, I obviously wouldn't give them the answer. But I'm giving them the answer because I want to be able to test it and see if it's working. Because the next version of this is going to have a loop so that I can keep doing it until I get the right number. Okay. So I did a document write the random number, and then I did a document write a BR, the skip down a line. And then I said, okay, now take in a prompt. And the prompt is enter your guess. Usually I write a prompt without the word window in front of it, but it's okay to have it there. Usually I write a prompt with a comma and something after it that is going to appear in the empty box, but it's okay not to do that. So those just showing you an alternate way of doing it. So now I get to my if, and I'm saying, if the random number equals my guess, do a document right, you've got it. If it's not equal, then I say, is the random number greater than my guess? If it is, then my guess is too low. Else, my guess is too high. Okay, so I put a 4 when I did this, and it had a 3 up there, so the random number was a 3. I put in a 4, okay, so my guess was too high. So I came down here. Is it equal? No, 3 isn't equal to 4. Is the random number greater? No, 3 isn't greater than 4. Therefore, my guess is too high, came up. Okay? So that's the basic logic that I have to do this. Now, if I look at the flow chart on this, prompt and ask for a guess. Okay? And then I drop down and do a test. And I say, okay, if the random is equal to the guess, then I've got it. If the random is not equal to the guess, I'm asking, is the random greater than the guess? And if it is, then I've got a low situation. Otherwise, I've got a high situation. And I probably should have made these parallelograms because I was actually writing. But I could have not written and waited until I finished with the if statement and then done a write. So I could have had a message and had the message say, and that's what I was thinking I was doing. And had the message say you got it, have a message that said your guess is too low, have a message that says your guess is too high, and then after all of this put out document write message. And I would have written a message. I'm document writing as I go along, so those boxes should have been a parallelogram, because parallelograms mean I.O. Okay. So these boxes should have been a parallelogram. Because I'm writing them up. But my alternative to writing is to gather the message, put what I want to say in a message, And then when I'm all done, write the message. And that would work as well. Okay. So at this point, I am done. And so I can stop or end. Okay. So now I'm going to look at the next one. And the next one is one game. And so I said, you can see it's five is the guess over there. So I entered two. And that didn't work out. It came back and said my guess is too low. And now I'll enter five. And it came back and said you got it. Okay, so I did it. Okay, so now I've put a loop in. And I've put in a loop right before I do the prompt for the guess. I have put in a loop. And at the bottom, I am testing. So at the bottom, I'm going to test and say, is the random number not equal is written as an explanation as an equal. Not equal to guess. And if it's not equal to guess, I'm going to come up and go in right there. Otherwise, I'm going to end. So I put a loop in here, and the loop is controlled by what I find out in the if statement. Or I read out the message is controlled by that. I shouldn't say the loop is. The loop is controlled down here where I say if the random number is not equal to my guess, go back up and enter and prompt them for another guess. So if it's not equal, do this while the random number is not equal to my guess. So if it's not equal, it goes back up to the do, drops down, and does the document write of a blank line, and then does the enter your guess. And if the random number is equal, then I write out, you got it. I drop out of the loop. The random number is now equal to my guess, so I don't go back. If I got the guess wrong, then it would go back. So we'll do this over and over and over again until you get the right answer. When you get the right answer, then it will stop. But I'm doing this loop while the random number is not equal to my guess. Does that make sense? Okay. Okay, so the next one is enter your guess, and the random number, the number had chosen two. So I'm going to enter five, and it comes back and says too high. I'm going to enter one, it comes back and says too low. I'm going to enter three, and it comes back and says too high. I'm going to enter two, and I got it. Okay, so you got it. Now it says, do you want to play again? Yes or no? And if I type in a yes, then I can enter again. And this time it's a four, so if I type a four, I got it. Do you want to play again? No. But I'm going to loop through there and keep playing again.
So now I'm doing a view page source. Okay, so now I've added in another do loop. And the other do loop is controlled down here at the bottom by my saying is play again not equal to no. So I had a prompt right above that that said, do you want to play again, yes or no? Okay. So if they entered a no, I am going to get out. If they entered a yes, I will play again. What about if they enter a Z?
I'm going to play again.
Okay. So I made a choice here that I wanted to have a very specific thing to get out and anything else would play again. I could have made a different choice and said, as long as they enter yes, I will play again. If they stop entering yes, I'm going to not play again. But I decided that I wanted them to have to purposely get out and anything else would keep them in, as opposed to purposely stay in and anything else would get me out. Okay, so I just made that as the programmer. Okay. So that means over here, and I'm running out of room, I put up a prompt that says, play again. So I'm putting up a prompt that asks if they want to play again. And they're going to answer, and I'm going to say, as long as it is not equal to no, I'm going to go back. And this time I'm coming in up here at the top because I want to generate a random number. Notice the outer loop has the math to generate a random number in it because I want to go back. If they want to play another game, I want a new random number. So I'm going back up and playing a new random number. And otherwise, I will end. So I added in two different loops here so that I can play another random number. Okay? Questions? So one loop was focused on the game. I want you to keep guessing till you get the right answer. And then the outer loop is focused on playing the game. How many times do you want to play the game? And letting the user choose whether they want to play again or not. Okay, once this is ready for production, I'm going to take out the document, write the random number, so that they don't know what the answer is and they have to figure it out. But for now, I'm keeping that in there so that I can test. Okay. Does this make sense? Ask questions if it doesn't. Because this is a real program. Some of the other things we've looked at are a little, but this is a real program. Okay. And I want to take that out and take a picture of that. Okay, so the next thing I want to do is talk about an assignment that I'm going to give you. Okay, so I'm going to have you write rock, paper, scissors.
So we're
going to
look at rock, paper, scissors. So rock, paper, scissors, we're going to try to figure out who won using rock, paper, scissors, okay? Now, first of all, I would suggest that you use a 1, 2, and 3 as opposed to the words rock, paper, scissors. It just will make it easier programming. If you want to use the words, that's fine. It's going to be a harder program to write. Have a good time, that's great. Okay, but if you want the simple version, you're going to use a 1 for rock, a 2 for paper, and a 3 for scissors. Because that's what the computer's going to do, is I'm going to generate the computer's random number. So I'm going to generate a computer random number. And that's going to be a 1, a 2, or a 3. So it's easier for me, okay, this is the user or the player, the user to use a 1, 2, or 3, if that's what the computer's coming up with. The computer's going to come up with a 1, 2, or 3. And if I, as the user, enter a 1, 2, or 3, then it makes the comparison fairly easy. Okay. How many possibilities are there?
Complete possibility, as in like somebody did paper, somebody did scissors, somebody did paper, somebody did rock, somebody did paper, somebody did paper. It should be 9.
Yes. Okay. So my possibilities are I can have one do, as he said, rock, and I can have, if it is rock, if the computer generates rock, I can have, this is the user. So if the computer generates a 1, the user as a 1, then I have what for a situation? I have a tie, right? If the computer generates a 1 and the user generates a 2, then what do I have?
User wins.
User wins. Because rock was generated, paper covers rock, and so the user wins. If I have a 3-1, then what have I got? The
computer wins.
The computer wins because rock can break scissors. So the computer wins. Okay. And then you have to go through this for 2-2-2, 1-2-3, and then 3-3-3, 1-2-3. So those are the 9 possibilities. And you have to figure out who's winning and who's losing on those 9 possibilities. So you have to take in the random number from the computer, take in the user's number, and then you have to do the comparison. Now, 3 of those are going to be a tie. And you don't care what it was, rock, paper, or scissors, if it's a tie. So you can ask one question, and basically is the random number equal to the user's number? And if it is, it's a tie. You don't have to ask, is it 1 and 1, is it 2 or 2, is it 3 or 3? You can just ask, if they're the same, that's a tie. Okay? You can set this up with simple if statements to ask all of these questions, or you can set it up with compound if statements where you ask a couple of questions together if you think that is easier. Okay? Questions. Okay. Now, I'm sure on the internet there are a whole load of solutions to this. I know what I've taught you. If you're using stuff that I haven't taught you, then you've got to explain it to me. Because I'm not interested in you using one of the solutions that's out on the web. But if you use one of those solutions, I want you to at least understand it. So if you pick a solution on the web and decide that's the one you're going to use, then you've got to explain to me the stuff that is new and different. the stuff that you didn't understand. Okay? I would obviously rather have you write it from scratch, just yourself, because you'll learn more that way. But reality says that there will be people that decide that the computer, the internet, offers a better solution. So you've got to explain the solution if the solution is not mine. It's not one that, you know, you've learned from this class. Okay. I don't think I want to get into a raise. We're going to do that another time. So I think we're done. So if you want to start working on a solution to this or ask questions, that's fine. But I think we will not start a new topic with 8 minutes to go. Yeah. Yeah, it's going to be part of this week's homework. I'm going to put it up, but I just wanted to make sure I got there before I put it up. Okay. Yeah.
I would like the following examples, like just kind of what direction you think like would be good to start with as far as like examples about through today.
Okay, yeah. Which one?
Well, for this assignment.
For this assignment.
Yeah. I think it's just more just, you know, trial and error basically.
Well, no, I would start out, if I were doing it, I would put in the two prompts. And then I would check for a tie, because that eliminates three of the possibilities right there. So I'm going to check for a tie, and so I'll check for a tie. And by a tie, what I'm going to ask is the user number equal to the computer number? And if it's not a tie, then I'll start asking a specific question. Is the computer a one and the user a two? And then I will tell it that that means that the user wins. Otherwise, and keep going like that. So I would put up those if statements. If you want to, you can figure out the kinds of things of what are the all of the things that means the user one and put those in a compound, or figure out all the things that made the computer win and put those in a compound, or you can ask the simple kind of ifs and just compare the individual numbers, compare the one to the two. If it's not, then it must be a three, because we've already got rid of the ties, and so it must be a three. And so that would mean the computer wins. Okay? You're welcome. You might also check to make sure that they put in a valid number, and yell at them if they don't. But that's kind of beyond the scope of where we are. Okay, so we'll assume that you have people that know how to type just ones, twos, and threes. But if you want to, you can add in the check and make sure that the user puts in a valid one, two, or three. And that would be a nice check to make. And just end it if it doesn't. Now, I want you to put into this, and I should have mentioned it, but it will be in the assignment, I want to have the user have an opportunity to play again. Okay? So the play again part has to be in here so that the user can choose to play again or quit. Okay. So you do have to put in the play again option. Okay, for real we're done, and now it's only 4 minutes, so I feel less guilty. Anybody else got a question to make me feel even less guilty? Okay, we're done.